First, when the emergency room at a public hospital becomes overcrowded, the facility may close its doors so that additional patients don't have to wait a long time for care. A new study from California says when that happens at public hospitals, nearby private hospitals may close their doors too to avoid treating patients who are more likely to be poor. That can be a serious problem for anyone who happens to need emergency care during that time. It's an issue that hasn't been studied much, partly because data is hard to come by, but many health professionals say it's more common than people realize. John Diedrich is an investigative reporter and assistant editor at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. John, thanks for joining us.
Happy to be here.
Well, John, before we get into this California study, you've been following this issue of emergency room temporary closures to people in ambulances for a while. Can you tell us about the one tragic story that you started following?
Yeah, this was a case here in the Milwaukee area and about 4 years ago, a little bit more than 4 years ago. The case of Tiffany Tate, she worked at the Medical College of Wisconsin as a food service worker, and that is next door, basically on the same general proximity of Frederick Hospital. She began suffering what quickly became apparent was a stroke, and they called the paramedics to Wauwatosa Fire Department. But when they got there, it would be a short ride next door to Frederick in its top level stroke center. But they could not go. They were turned away. The hospital, in fact, was turning away all patients at that time. And Tiffany Tate ultimately went to a hospital that didn't have as high a level of care and then was transferred again and died a time later. And this got me onto this story of, like, I had not heard this. And as I'm following this, many people did not know that hospitals can, if they deem it necessary, close their doors to all ambulances. It's a process or a practice known as ambulance diversion. It's gone on for a long time. People in hospitals certainly know about it, and paramedics do, but the general public does not.
So there's this thing, this diversion. Hospitals can say emergency rooms, we're too busy, we can't take more patients. So those ambulances, not the people who show up walking or driving, they have to be taken according to federal law. But ambulances can be diverted. And there's this question of, well, are they doing it because they're worried about people's ability to pay or how much they get paid? Now, let's bring this California study into it. It gets a little complicated, but sort it out for us, John.
Well, you point out a good point that this is only keeping away the ambulances themselves. So if you drive up, you have to be treated. What this researcher was interested to look at, because hospitals have said all along, this is a matter of volume. And, you know, we're only doing it for the safety and convenience of our patients. And it would be much better for you to go to a different hospital. What this researcher from Penn State and her colleagues found looking at data from California, the most complete data that was available was an interesting to see the reaction by private hospitals when a public hospital, that would be a government-owned hospital nearby them, went on diversion. They acted differently than they would if a fellow private hospital went on diversion. And they measured it by three different ways. They went on, those hospitals closed the doors quicker. They closed them with a lower census in their emergency room. And then they opened up faster when the first hospital that went on diversion was a public hospital. This idea that hospitals go on diversion when each other goes on diversion, that's not really new. It's sort of like a game of dominoes, and one goes down and then another one goes down and so forth. But what this study is significantly finding is that there's a potential financial implication or motivation here, because the patients who would be turned away from the public hospital then are more likely to be Medicaid or have no insurance at all, so lower paying government health insurance or not paying at all. So what this research found, and they controlled for a number of other elements to make sure they weren't missing something here, but what they found is a possible and more research is needed, but a possible financial motivation for going on diversion.
It's a tricky issue to study, John, because I think no hospital is going to say, yeah, we're going to shut down on purpose when that public hospital is closed because we don't want low-paying or non-paying patients coming in the doors. It's hard to use data in a way to figure out if that's happening.
Well, it is, and certainly nobody's going to write that down or say that. What this rigorous study, it's peer reviewed, and they've been working on this data for a while. And they found by a statistically significant difference, the reaction that hospitals did. And what they did is they matched up hospitals that were near enough to each other, that were peer hospitals. They were about the same size. They controlled for a bunch of different elements that, you know, confounding elements that could throw off the findings of this. And they found, as they controlled for all these things, that there was a significant difference when that first hospital that closed was a public hospital as opposed to a fellow private hospital.
Talking to John Diedrich from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, talking about the practice of emergency room diversion, saying, hey, our doors are closed, at least for now, to patients coming in via ambulance. John, in your longer-term reporting on this, you found that sometimes these diversions happen not because there's more people coming into the emergency room, but because of how the hospitals schedule their non-emergency procedures.
Yeah, that's the real interesting background of this, and I'm glad you raised that. So while the approximate sort of cause of this would be, oh, how many people are in the ED and how many people are coming into the emergency department or the emergency room, the actual cause of this is the flow through the rest of the hospital. So the inside term or the industry term is it's a throughput issue. So it's not what's coming in the front door. It's how quickly admissions are made, how surgeries are scheduled. You referred to that. Oftentimes, hospitals schedule surgeries on Mondays and Tuesdays, elective surgeries, which are very lucrative. And so hospitals don't want to move those around, and they also don't want to make surgeons who are doing those procedures unhappy. So that can create bumps in their process. And the reason we know this is because this issue has been addressed in a number of places, a growing number of places, most significantly Massachusetts, for the last 10 years, hasn't allowed diversions at all. And they didn't do it by adding a bunch of beds or making doubling the size of the ED. They did it through a series of procedural changes in how the processes work throughout the hospital in terms of, you know, how schedules, surgeries are smoothed out and how quickly admissions can be made and discharges and things of that nature. So it's really what it is it's a whole hospital issue that just sort of lands on the emergency department because they're at the front door.
And you write that Milwaukee County is one of those government entities that's trying to get this under control.
That's right. They are one of the largest area to most recently ended, and this was voluntarily here in Milwaukee County. And they were actually in the process of ending diversions when Tiffany Tate's case happened, her stroke case. But again, here in Milwaukee County, it was ended through not increasing bed sizes, bed capacity or that sort of thing, but changing the processes, talking to hospital executives in town. That's how they did it. And it's a playbook that's been followed in a number of places, though our research indicates that three quarters of the largest 25 cities in the country still allow it. And in some places, it continues to be quite an acute problem. And I should note, outside of Milwaukee, ambulance diversion is still allowed in the rest of the state of Wisconsin.
And in our last minute, John, what are you watching for next when it comes to hospitals diverting, sending away ambulances at certain times instead of accepting them in their emergency rooms?
Well, what's interesting, and you mentioned this with the data, there's a real lack of data out there, and we've noted that in our investigation, and this researcher did as well. What they've been able to do, though, is they've shown that that diversions delay care and in some cases have led to higher rates of death and complications in certain areas. So the researchers with the data that they have found a number of significant findings, and they say what they need is more data. And as an investigative reporter, I would definitely echo that.
John, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
That's John Diedrich, investigative reporter and assistant editor at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. We talked to them about a new study showing that some private hospitals turn away ambulances, possibly for financial reasons, when patients are more likely to be poor. Health officials say that can cause potentially life-threatening delays for anyone in need of ambulance during that time of diversion. We also talked about his ongoing series looking at hospital diversions here in Wisconsin. You can find the stories he's written about that over the last year or so. It's all over at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel website. And if you work in an ER and have experienced this firsthand, I'd love to hear your story. You can email us at ideas@wpr.org.